I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Over the past few months on the show, you've heard us discussing the housing crisis a number of times. We've talked about short-term rentals, the experiences of landlords and then tenants, and some creative fixes that towns are trying on their own. Today, we're diving into another element of the housing crisis. It's called VRAP, the Vermont Emergency Rental Assistance Program. And it's a pandemic-era fund that thousands of Vermonters use to help pay their rent. It's also helped cover emergency housing in hotels and motels for about 1,500 people. Now, late last month, state officials announced VRAP, as it's called, is being phased out starting October 1st. The hotel-motel housing program is also going to stop taking applicants. Later in this show, we're going to talk to housing advocates and an attorney with legal aid about how they're trying to convince state officials to do more to help low-income people stay housed, especially with winter approaching. But first, we're going to talk to somebody who is being directly affected. Zoe rents an apartment in Colchester. She's been enrolled in the VRAP program since May of last year. And a note to listeners, we're only using Zoe's first name today to protect her privacy. Zoe, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for coming on. Now, as I just mentioned, you have been using the VRAP program since last year. What was going on in your life when you first heard about the program?
So for me, I had been working two jobs kind of on and off since the beginning of the pandemic. Kind of trying to make ends meet. Initially, when I heard about VRAP, I didn't do much looking into it, and I didn't apply. But it kind of stayed with me, sort of in the back of my mind. And especially as someone who's immunocompromised, it definitely kind of stood out as maybe some extra security for me if I felt like it wasn't the best choice for my health to keep working at the jobs that I was.
And when you were working at those jobs, were those jobs that were that required you to be somewhere in person? Because I can imagine during the pandemic that must have been a tough decision to make, as it was for many of us.
Yeah, one of the jobs was a retail job, so I was kind of with people all the time, and having so many people come in and out was definitely a concern for me, especially earlier in the pandemic, like when we weren't exactly sure kind of how things were going to go, and then with new variants popping up, it just sort of became kind of untenable for me to keep exposing myself to people that I didn't know well, or I didn't know exactly what precautions they were taking.
Mm-hmm. Now, eventually, as I understand it, you did apply to the Vermont Emergency Rental Assistance Program. Why did you make that decision?
So I made that decision The initial decision for me to apply was almost kind of on a whim. I wasn't exactly sure about the eligibility criteria and whether I would meet those or not. I figured it couldn't hurt, at least. So even kind of just the chance of maybe applying and receiving aid like that was worth it to me to go through and kind of dig out all of the stuff I needed for the application.
Mm-hmm. And how how did you feel like the program worked or didn't work for you? I know a lot of these, the government assistance programs, there can be a lot of complicated requirements, long application processes, and then you only get approved for maybe a month of funds at a time. How did VRAP work for you?
So for me, VRAP was kind of a lifeline at that point when I first initially applied. I was surprised actually by how easy, relatively, the application process was. And I mean, it was all online, so I kind of had access to everything I needed. And for me, having VRAP was kind of the first sort of safety net that I had had in my adult working life. And especially living in Burlington, like rent eats up so much of my monthly income that not having to constantly think about like how many hours I'm working, how many hours equals 1 month of rent, just to kind of be able to let that go for a little while was such a load off for me.
Zoe, you mentioned that you have health issues that make you immunocompromised. And you told our producer when he spoke to you for today's show that for you, the pandemic still isn't over. Could you speak a bit more about what you meant by that and how that affects your housing security?
Sure. I mean, and I'm certainly not alone in kind of feeling like, as an immunocompromised person, that people are kind of moving ahead of us in terms of like declaring the pandemic over, as President Biden did the other day. Mm-hmm. But if you are at risk of potentially getting really sick from COVID, you're still having to kind of take all of the precautions that you were doing previously. So like I still am masking anytime I go into like an enclosed space with other people. So shopping, going into other people's houses that I don't know super well. And so to see people kind of let go of those behaviors that were kind of keeping everyone safe, including other people, it kind of just feels like we're being left out and left behind in a way.
Right. Well, this rental assistance program, VRAP, you know, that government officials have said, you know, that it was always meant to be temporary. It was also always meant to be something that, you know, was part of the pandemic era. And what I'm hearing you saying is that, you know, hey, that era is still going on for many, many people. What does the end of VRAP mean for you? How did it feel to get that news that this program is winding down?
I mean, I did certainly expect it. Like in, I think every recertification that gets done through the VRAP site, it seemed to me that it was always stressed that like this is going to go on for as long as it can until funding runs out. But I mean, the ending of it seemed pretty abrupt. And I don't think I knew that VRAP was ending probably many more days before it was like announced to everyone. And I don't know, I guess as someone who was taking part in the program, it would have been nice to have a little more notice than that. Since they announced it to everyone, like the, I think, the 31st of August. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't necessarily leave me a lot of time to kind of start squirreling away funds that I may need to pay rent in the future and in case of emergencies. So it feels a little bit like we've been left in a lurch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zoe, I was curious what your plans are for the future in terms of rent, and if you're comfortable sharing with us how much you receive each month from VRAP, and where you are going to try to find those funds in your existing budget.
Yeah, so VRAP would pay my rent, which is, well, it was $950 at the point when I applied. It's now gone up to $970. Mm. So that was covered by VRAP. And as it stands now, I am kind of looking at fitting in jobs where I'm able to. I'm working part-time currently, so I'm definitely looking at trying to get another full-time job, and maybe if I can fit it in, doing something else for a couple of hours a week, just so I can feel like I have like a little nest egg that who knows I may need in the future.
And then lastly, Zoe, before we go to break, you had just mentioned that you wish that there had been a bit more notice for people who receive these funds before they made this widespread announcement that the program is winding down. Unfortunately, the opportunity for that has passed, but looking to the future, if there are any, you know, government officials listening to this program right now, what message would you like to share? What do you need to help make sure that you are housing secure in the future?
I think just the acknowledgement that the pandemic isn't over, despite what people say and how some people are acting. And so that leaves, I think, a lot of people sort of vulnerable in the way that, I mean, just like during the pandemic, we're having to make a choice between keeping ourselves feeling like we're safe and being forced to put ourselves in positions where we have maybe public-facing jobs that don't afford us kind of any protections. So I guess just the reminder that, like, the pandemic's not over for a lot of people.
Well, Zoe, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Today, we're discussing a particular element of Vermont's housing crisis, the winding down of the Vermont Emergency Rental Assistance Program. It's a pandemic-era government fund that thousands of Vermonters use to pay rent. More than 12,600 people currently use VRAP, as it's called, and the average benefit they receive is just under $1,000 per month. In total, Vermont got about $350 million from the federal government for this program, with very specific rules about how quickly that money needed to be spent. Now, ahead of this show, we reached out to the commissioner of the Department for Children and Families here in Vermont, Sean Brown, and we asked him to explain why the administration seems to have been potentially caught by surprise by its terms with the federal government. Here is what he said.
And then last spring, the U.S. Treasury updated its guidance with very little notice, which really impacted how states could spend and utilize those funds. And for Vermont, it significantly expedited and changed how we could use those dollars. And that is primarily the driver of what's happening here.
We're joined now by two housing advocates. First, we have Beth Ann Meyer of Waterbury. She's an ordained deacon in the Episcopal Diocese of Vermont and a member of the Vermont Interfaith Action Statewide Organizing Committee on Housing and Homelessness. Beth Ann, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Good morning, or afternoon, actually. Thank you for raising this issue.
We're also joined today by Rick DeAngelis, the co-executive director of Good Samaritan Haven, which runs shelters in Berlin, Barrie, and Barrytown. Rick, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Glad to be with you today.
Now, Beth Ann, let's start with you, because right after state officials made this announcement that the Emergency Rental Assistance Program was running out of money and going to be winding down, Vermont Interfaith Action, this organization that you're a part of, held a press conference in Montpelier about it. What was the goal?
The goal was to really raise the public awareness of what was happening. Over 12,000 Vermont households, these aren't people, these are households, were going to lose support that they have really been relying on, at the same time that everybody knows that rental rates have risen seriously in the last few months. Some rents have risen as much as 30%, and there's been no control on that. So we felt this is a subject that we've been working on since 2015, and we just felt it was very necessary to make this more visible. So we just felt that more people needed to know what was happening, because this is going to be a serious problem. It already is a serious problem. It's going to become much more serious over the next, well, in 10 days, over 3,000 people are going to lose that support. And many of them have no choice. They cannot immediately come up with income to pay their rent. And we're going to have many more evictions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we in our first block of our show, we heard something similar from Zoe in Colchester, who was saying that, you know, she needs more time to start, as she put it, squirreling away funds from her part-time income in order to pay rent in the future once this program winds down. Now, Rick DeAngelis with Good Samaritan Haven, what are you hearing about the winding down of VRAP? I can imagine a lot of the people that you work with might use funds like this.
Well, absolutely. We are we're operating shelters here in Washington County, but we're also working in the motels in Washington County. You know, there are over 300 people who are living in motels that have no other housing choices or options. And most of those are participating in the transitional housing program, which is part of VRAP. Those folks, I've talked to many of them, they are very grateful for that assistance, but they're very, very nervous about the, you know, premature ending of the program and what that's going to mean for them. So, you know, we're really concerned about this because more people are going to become homeless and we already have a crisis.
Well, let's turn to the phones. Let's go first to Martha in Burlington. Martha, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have, as far as my personal experience with VRAP, not as bad as your first guest there. But I mean, whenever, you know, everybody got letters or email from the state at one point that said you qualify or you will receive 18 months of VRAP assistance. Mm. Now, I mean, like anybody who, you know, is, you know, regardless of whether or not my situation is as bad as your guest. I mean, you know, how can you promise people something and then just, you know, pull the rug out from under them? I mean, it just seems unconscionable. And the other thing is that I looked at a report. I was reading a report by Doug Hoffer, and they're looking, they're auditing how pandemic money was spent. And there's a lot of issues with that, including these were money given to healthcare providers and businesses. Mm-hmm. And there was there's some numbers like 22 businesses received $4.8 million. Mm-hmm. And it was in that they're discovering it's $3 million more than they needed.
Right.
And this is only one number. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And Martha, I'm going to jump in here because as you're saying, these programs are complicated. The people that they're helping are getting kind of mixed information, I think. And Bethann, I'd love to hear from you on this. You know, we've seen lots of different numbers floating around about, you know, how many people are served by VRAP. Can you talk to us a bit about like the details of this winding down as you understand them? I know, you know, some folks are losing their funding in October, others in March. How does that work?
So I'm taking my figures from Vermont Digger, who got their figures from the Vermont State Housing Authority that has been handed this this program to administer. And those figures are, as you said, more than 12,000 people are on the program. By the end of this month, so in 10 days, 3,000 people will lose their support, and there will be no further people entered into the program. So anybody who becomes homeless after the end of this month will have to return to the original general assistance emergency housing rules, which are quite restrictive. So after the end of September, 3,000 people go off at the end, and many people will then also see their support reduced to 70%. At the end of November, another 5,000 people will be dropped out of the program. Hmm. And with even with that, by March, some date in March of 2023, the program will end entirely, which is the sole funding for all the people in the hotels. So that's my understanding. I think that people need to realize the kind of money that has been, that it's huge amounts of money, and the administration has not had the capacity to manage these programs so that, I mean, an example is that they didn't know how fast this money was running out. They knew in the spring that the money would run out, but they didn't track it. I mean, most of us in our homes, we have to do a monthly checkbook balance. And, you know, in our small churches, monthly, we sit down and figure out how are we against the budget? Is the money coming in? Is the money going out? The government has, the state of Vermont has been, looks like it's been tracking this program on a quarterly basis. Mm-hmm. So that they were taken by surprise at the amount of money that's being spent. If anybody is in any doubt, we are paying anywhere from $3,500 to $6,000 a month per room in the hotels. Mm-hmm. You know, that could pay for several units worth of rent if we had the units.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of those hotels, Rick DeAngelis with Good Samaritan Haven, I'm wondering if you could paint a bit more of a picture for folks of who the people are who are staying in your facilities. What are their stories?
Well, there are people in the motels in Washington County, for example. There are about 300 people. And then just to round out the picture, there are 70 people in our county who are living in shelters, mostly the shelters that we operate. And then there's another 50 plus people who are just living outside, camping or whatever. So it's a complicated picture, but it's a picture of great need. Now, in terms of the people who are living in the motels and on VRAP or the transitional housing program of VRAP, you know, it's a mix of folks. Some have disabilities, some are working, I spoke to two gentlemen this morning. They're both working, and they both were very, very appreciative for that program. And they actually credited it with saving their lives because they were in a tough spot and sick. And one guy was living out of his car and the other guy was camping last winter. And then they entered into the program. So I'll tell you, those folks, most of them are working as hard as they can to use this as a bridge to get out, you know, to get work and to get into housing. But it's a tough housing market. And I don't want to myself focus too much on, you know, has something been mismanaged or anything like that. The underlying problem is we have the second lowest vacancy rate in the country. And that is really the overlay over this entire program, mm-hmm. or this entire problem, is that even people who are making good faith efforts to move on and get affordable housing, they just can't find it.
Right. Those units just are not there. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. We have a number of folks calling in with their own experiences. If you have something to share on this subject, give us a call, 800-639-2211. Let's go now to Marcus in Burlington. Marcus, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, hi. How are you today?
Hi, good. Thank you. What's your question or your comment?
Well, listen, I've been in a hotel since COVID hit, March 2020. And they told me, Economic Services told me way back then that they would find housing for everybody in the program. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And they haven't. So, listen, I'm getting kicked out of the hotel along with a bunch of other people. We're all in the transitional housing program. Mm-hmm. And you have to be in the program for 4 months before you can get the $3,300 deposit that they put down in our names. So they managed to kick us all out at 3 months so we don't get our deposits. Mm. That the deposits can be used for first and last month's rent and for whatever utilities we need to sign up for a new place. But since the hotels, they're charging, my rent is $3,925 a month. Mm-hmm. It was $1,400 before the transitional housing program. And now with the transitional housing program, the hotels can charge whatever they want. From what I understand, I'm not positive about this through hearsay, but it's a federal deal where the hotels put homeless people into the hotels and the hotels can charge whatever they want. So that's where the money went. Right. The money's gone to the hotel.
Well, thank you, Marcus, for calling in. We have a lot of calls. I think a lot of people are experiencing something similar to what you are. Let's go now to Shannon in Brattleboro. Shannon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So we've been participating in the VRAP program since May last year, and we're told from day one and through about 3 weeks ago when we moved into a new home, from Putney to Brattleboro, we had a mold-infested apartment that we were paying $1,275 for. Finally found a place in Brattleboro for $2,850. Now, the only reason our landlord agreed to take us as tenants is because we had the VRAP assistance, because they usually require income three times the rent. And 3 days after we moved into the new home in Brattleboro, the newsletter went out saying the program was ending. So we have a tenant, a five-year-old. We moved into the new home. We still haven't even gotten everything out of storage. And now we don't, instead of having the 18 months that we were approved for, that we were told by every single person at the end of that 833 number they provide, every single person told us, yes, you have 18 months, which means your last rent payment will be May 1st, 2023. We now have 70% of our rent being paid October 1st, possibly, maybe, hopefully, and then 50% in November 1st, and then after that, nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I called someone last week and got this a different answer from a different agent at the same number saying, oh no, November 1st, you'll get 50% of whatever your rent was. You'll have to come up with the other half going forward until the money is out. So you're getting a lot of different stories, a lot of different information from several different people. The supervisors are not sharing information. I don't know if anyone knows this, but the day that newsletter went or the announcement went out, the VRAP agents didn't know that was going out. So you can imagine their stress and their call volume that day. And I felt terrible for them. But I was like, you know, we're panicking. Right. So it was, it feels very much like a gigantic bait and switch that is going to destroy a lot of families. And we're sitting here just trying to figure out how we're going to do the next few months of saving. Instead of having 8 months of being able to save for when the program ended, we now have two. Mm. So that's where our family sits right now.
Shannon, I'm so sorry to hear that you're going through that. And I think a through line of this conversation has been that the rollout of information on this program has been extremely difficult and fraught for a lot of Vermonters. And Beth Ann, I know that you have also been trying to communicate with the Scott administration to clarify what you know your group's needs are, what you're hearing from other people, and let the administration know. And I believe you even tried to deliver a letter this morning. Is that right?
That's correct. We wrote a letter asking with some clear asks, and the biggest ask is really to have a clear and timely plan for how to support people until more affordable housing comes online. And we have signatures from all over the state on this letter. And we called asking just to allow us to deliver the letter up to the office. We did not ask to meet with the governor. We just wanted to deliver it into the hands of somebody in the office. But they did not want us to come up to the office. We were able only to hand the letter to the security guard on the first floor, and they would then send a staffer down for the letter.
Hmm. Well, we also, before this show, reached out to the Department for Children and Families, DCF, the commissioner, Sean Brown, to ask if he feels like there is enough of a plan in place to help families after these programs end, families like Shannon's, who just called in. And here's what he said.
We are concerned, and we have many different programs and services available to support those households, hopefully to prevent them from experiencing homelessness once their rental assistance is no longer available to them. And so one is, first, we would work in, to help prevent them with rapid resolution funding to help them stabilize and stay housed. Also try to connect them with other rental assistance that might be available, pre-existing programs like the Housing Choice Vouchers administered by the Vermont State Housing Authority. They are opening up their waiting list. Also, we have some smaller programs here available. And then if a household does experience homelessness, you know, weeks or months later, that's where our general assistance program, the safety net program, will be available.
So what we heard from that was that there are these patchworks of programs that are still going to be available. Some state officials are very concerned, like Sean Brown said that he was. But, you know, for a lot of families, it doesn't feel like it's enough. Rick DeAngelis with Good Samaritan Haven. I know you mentioned earlier, and I appreciate the sentiment that you don't want this conversation just to be about like who mismanaged what and pointing fingers at different people. But, you know, we do have the chance here to talk about potential solutions, things that could help. From your perspective, what could help this situation right now?
Well, I think there absolutely has to be a more gradual ramp down of the program. And I hope and I trust that the administration is talking with the legislature about that. I mean, just hearing that lady from Brattleboro, that was so compelling what she had to say. Mm-hmm. And I hope everybody recognizes that we have an obligation to do better than that as a state. And no, I don't want to blame the state of Vermont. I think they've done they should be acknowledged for trying to leverage all these resources. But we've got a problem now, and we've got to do better than to just say it's all ending and good luck. And, you know, here, apply at this office or do this. I mean, it's we have potentially a very dangerous situation that's going to occur.
We're continuing our conversation this hour about the Vermont Emergency Rental Assistance Program. It's ending for thousands of Vermonters in the weeks ahead and thousands more early next year. We're joined on the line by Beth Ann Meyer of Waterbury, an ordained deacon in the Episcopal Diocese of Vermont. She's also a member of the Vermont Interfaith Action Statewide Organizing Committee on Housing and Homelessness. We're also joined this hour by Rick DeAngelis, the co-executive director of Good Samaritan Haven, which runs shelters in Washington County. Now, before we go back to our guests, I want to jump over to the phone lines to Bridget in Colchester. Bridget, thank you for your patience here. What's your question or your comment?
Thank you. I'm a VRAP recipient. During the pandemic, my family and I struggled like many Vermonters did, but it wasn't until we got a no-cause eviction notice coupled with a rent increase of 30% from our landlord that we decided to look for help. Mm. And we were made aware of VRAP through Tom Proctor at Rights and Democracy. We have had 1 month of rental assistance. We'll be in the tier where we're getting cut off in November. And I just want to say what's most upsetting to us is that the Scott administration made a promise to renters in Vermont who are struggling, and then he stopped short of fulfilling that promise. When VRAP ends, it's going to put thousands of renters at risk for homelessness. It's immoral, and it sends a clear message that the Scott administration doesn't care about working Vermonters and how we fare during a recession, a housing crisis, and a pandemic. To Zoe's point, the pandemic is still happening. I'm actually recovering from COVID right now. And there's an election coming up, and we need Democratic leadership to step up and put pressure on Scott to work on a real solution to the housing crisis.
Mm. And Bridget, can I ask, what are your plans for the future? Have you and your family thought through or come up with any ways to make up for this funding that you are receiving from VRAP, or is that still a big question mark in your lives?
It's definitely still a question mark. Our goal is home ownership, but that's extremely difficult when we're looking at a rental property that's, you know, got an inflated price. So saving money is not an option at this point. Mm. And we're gonna do like we always do. It's gonna be 1 month at a time.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your story. Rebecca in Bennington is also on the line. Rebecca, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. I am very the VRAP situation that's going on right now. We had just heard about the program through our landlord, who is currently wanting to put our house that we're renting from her on the market. And it's a house that contains two other tenants and their families in it as well. So we applied for the program a week before they put out the letter. They approved us. I made all my phone calls. They said it's approved for 18 months. You guys are fine. I called back in once the letter and emails were sent out and I had received them. And they had stated, no, you're still going to be receiving full 18 months of benefits for getting some rental assistance so we could try to rebudget and save money for the potential moving, or again, there's no apartments for rent, or they want first, last, and two times the security deposit that is the allotment for the rent, including all utilities. And I've lived in Vermont my entire adult life, and I've never seen the housing market this horrible. And it's a struggle when you finally do get approved for a program and never having rental assistance or welfare or any type of program because you're over income qualified and you can finally take a little bit of a breath to try to save some sort of money going forward. And you can't do that now. I mean, now the funds are gone and now we're back to square one with no end in sight for knowing what's going to happen or where we're going to be moving to potentially come April of next year. Mm.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rebecca. And it sounds like your experience of being approved for this program just days or weeks before the news broke that it is winding down is one that is unfortunately shared by many Vermonters who have called in today. I also want to share an email here that we received from Christian in Montpelier, who references a story from VT Digger about the end of this program. And there's a quote in it from the governor's press secretary, Jason Mellucci, who said state officials had done what they could to make the transition back to the pre-pandemic state as smooth as possible for program participants. And Christian writes, where is this pre-pandemic state everyone is supposed to be returning to? That's not the state of Vermont in which I live in late 2022 and heading into 2023 in nearly any way, certainly not in housing. Now, Beth Ann, one of our previous callers, Bridget, mentioned the fact that, you know, we're in an election year. The general elections are just a couple of weeks away in early November. And that the caller said that it reflects poorly on Governor Scott, who's up for election. Do you feel like from what you've been hearing that this is going to be a major issue going into these November elections for the governor?
I think that we need to divorce this topic from politics. This is not a political issue, and elections are not going to be won or lost on this issue. This is a humanitarian issue. And all of us together, no matter what our party, can take all of the resources that we have in Vermont, which is not inconsiderable, and come up with creative thinking and innovation to really channel our resources into a solution. And that's what I would urge anybody that ends up getting elected to do, and just make it a high priority. This is a crisis, and that's what governments are about, is to really assist people with their basic needs during crisis situations.
Yeah, thank you for that. And Rick, as you move forward in your job with Good Samaritan Haven and assist people in their basic needs of safe housing, as Beth Ann put it, how does this winding down of VRAP affect your day to day? What will the next days and weeks look like for you?
Bottom line is I don't want any more people coming to our doors because we're already at capacity. You know, we're providing, you know, think about it. We're in Washington County, and we're not like New York City or something like that. And we have 400 people who are homeless in Washington County. And let's do what we, you know, Beth Ann Mayer and the callers really nailed it. I thought, let's work together. Let's solve this problem and give people more time and keep building affordable housing. We do not want any more people homeless, right, if we can prevent it.
And Rick, you said, you know, unfortunately, your shelters don't have space right now for more people. But if people are listening and are saying, you know, hey, I need some help, I need somebody to help me figure out what to do, do you have any suggestions of organizations that could offer that help that you'd point people to?
Well, sure. Wherever they are, they can call their local community action agency here in Washington County. It's Capstone. They can also call us, and we do what we can to give people shelter and services. And in other parts of the state, there are also community action and shelter organizations, and they can also call Vermont 211, and they will point them in the right direction.
Thank you. And same question to you, Beth Ann. Are there any organizations in the state that you think are doing really excellent work here in the housing sector that you would point people to?
I agree with Rick. I think any of the community action agencies are the people on the front line, and they can, I think they're well informed about what resources are out there. And that would be my first place to look. They are the ones that are doing coordinated entry on the housing lists and help people with their applications.
Well, Beth Ann Mayer of Waterbury, an ordained deacon in the Episcopal Diocese of Vermont and a member of the Vermont Interfaith Action, thank you so much for your time today and for shedding light on this topic with us.
Thanks for raising this up and having us.
And Rick DeAngelis, co-executive director of Good Samaritan Haven, thank you so much for your time and your good work as well.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Yes, thank you, Rick. And listeners, we had planned to have an attorney from Legal Aid on at the end of the show today. We had so many calls that we decided to scooch that part of the conversation to a later date. So we will bring you that element of the conversation, hopefully in the next few days on Vermont Edition. So please stay tuned for that.